You're listening to a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more audio and visual content, visit streamschurch.org.
Remember, when I was a kid, they had this thing in newspapers and magazines and even a commercial that if you could draw this, send it in, and you could win a prize. I don't know if you remember that. I got a picture of it. Remember this here? Anybody do that? It's interesting because this was started as a government program during the Great Depression. And they set this up because they were trying to provide jobs, and there was a need for artists, for the newspapers and the magazines and the print that was really going forward. So they were looking for people. So it was actually started as a government program during the Great Depression. And the story goes that there was a young man who wanted to do it so desperately, but the course was $1,700. Can you imagine $1,700 during the Great Depression? And it was before online, so they sent it to you in the mail. So this young man begged his mom and dad to try to get it. So his dad worked a second job. He worked overtime to get the money to pay for it. And the course was sent to Charles Schulz. And that's where he got his start. And, of course, made Peanuts and all those cartoons. And he actually was the president of this organization for a while and eventually took all the drawings that he made and made out of the Great Depression. That's amazing. I sent one in. It got rejected. And I've been in a Great Depression ever since. So my wife told me too many jokes, but I'll stop right there. I promise. I don't have that gift. I wish that I did, and this is what I know. You can tell a lot about a person by what they create and how they create it. You can go and look at all the impressionists, all the different artists, and they'll talk about he was going through this or this life event happened to him. And so during Lent, the season weeks leading up to Easter, we're going to revisit some of the theological concepts that are true to us that we believe about God, and we're using the context of the song So Will I by Hillsong. It was the third song we sang. We sang just a portion of that song. For the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about that. Here's the verse, the first verse we sang today that we're going to talk about today and then probably next week. It says, God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time, with no point of reference, you spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of light. And as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born. In the vapor of your breath, the planets are formed. And if the stars were made to worship, so will I. I can see your heart, and that's what I'm hoping for the next few weeks. I can see your heart in everything you've made. Every burning star, a signal fire of grace, of creation sings your praise, and so will I. If you don't have this on your playlist, download it. So Will I by Hillsong. You're going to love it. Today we're going to talk about that we were created for light. Genesis chapter 1. Start with verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. You can tell a lot about an artist or a sculptor or anybody that creates anything by how they create it and by the steps that they take or what they create. And I believe that God was very intentional in his action of creation, that nothing he did was by accident. And it speaks to not only that time, but it speaks to us today. So in the middle of the chaos, in the middle of the formless emptiness and the vastness of nothingness, before the tides swayed to the rhythm of the sun and the moon, and before the seasons, four seasons, believe it or not, in other parts of the country, they have four seasons. We have two in Arizona, really nice and really hot. But other places, they have four seasons, and it's very beautiful. Before then, before those moments, God speaks, and as he does, the heavens and the earths are formed. And I don't want to go into a lot of the scientific proof of that, but the prevailing thought of many people is, and many scientists, is that there was a time when this intense energy and heat, something began out of it. They call it the Big Bang Theory. I went to try to research it, and all I got was information about a television show. But there actually is, there actually is this concept that there was a moment in time when something happened in the universe. And we believe that's the moment when God spoke into existence the very heavens and the earth. And his first order of business after that was light. Formless and void and chaos. And the first thing God speaks is, let there be light. And all of a sudden, when he does, order happens to chaos. And light dispels the darkness. Before the planets could be shaped and creatures could be formed, light had to exist. And you can tell a lot about an artist or sculptor by how they create and what they create. About God when he created light. The Apostle John, now, when he writes his gospel, the story of Jesus, he starts with the very concept, and it was on purpose. He talks about light. So John chapter 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 9. He starts it the same way. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made, and without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines into the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Some versions say the darkness has not understood it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. And John understood this, and he gets the concept. And so he starts his story exactly as Genesis starts the story. And into this world where religious chaos ruled, where demonic darkness was out of control, Jesus came. He came as the life, and that life was the light to all mankind. And it says darkness could not overcome it, and even darkness couldn't even understand it. And just like the beginning, light must come in order for us to conquer the darkness. And that's all darkness really is, right? Is the absence of light. And Jesus is the only one that can bring life into our chaos. I remember the first day that I came to faith, when life came to my chaos. It was July 27th. You've probably heard me tell the story. 1977 in Ozark, Arkansas. It was a little Baptist camp. And that night, the preacher said, do you want to go to heaven or do you want to go to hell? And honestly, I didn't want to go to hell. So that was the reason. I'm like, I've heard about it. I've seen some pictures. I don't want to go there. So I walked down to the aisle, knelt down, and gave my life to Jesus. And I thought I was just getting a get out of hell free card. I had no idea that he was bringing his glorious light into my world. And I thought one day I'll have eternal life, but he spoke, life eternal starts right now. And so the life he brought with that, he brought light. And here's the tricky part. Life and light always go hand in hand. It always has. It always will. Since the beginning of time. And we say to Jesus, Jesus, bring order to my chaos. And he says, let there be light. We say, bring life to my emptiness. And he speaks, let there be light. And I had no idea that light and life come together as a package. We like life a lot, not so much the light at times. Oftentimes, we don't welcome the light that can bring order to our chaos. And the reason is, I believe that darkness uses two fears to suppress the light in our life. And the two fears are the fear of shame and the fear of judgment. Twice, John quotes that Jesus is the light of the world. It's only two times he mentions it, John 8, John 9. In the first story, we see that Jesus is at the temple in the morning. He's about to teach, and the religious leaders of the day caught a woman in adultery, and they drag her up to the temple and throw her in the midst of this scene of Jesus teaching to try to trap Jesus in front of all these people. And they say, Jesus, this woman has been caught in adultery, and the law says that she must be stoned. What do you say? He kneels down and begins to write something in the sand. And as he does, one after another, they leave. And then after they've left, we read this in John chapter 8, verse 10. Jesus straightened up and asked her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? No one, sir, she said. Then neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. Go now and leave your life of sin. And I can see the picture as he's speaking this, and then he begins to rise. After this scene goes on, he began to engage the crowd again. It says, verse 12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And Jesus is the light of the world, but he doesn't come to condemn. He doesn't come to shame. He comes to set you free from shame. And this woman is caught by men. She's used by men. And then she's tossed aside. And she is dragged out publicly for humiliation and shame. And Jesus, the light, finds that broken center of her life and frees her from her shame. And he says, I don't condemn you. He finds this woman caught in the act of adultery, does not condemn her. The light dispels her darkness. You probably know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not die but have eternal life. Many people don't go on to the next verse. It says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That part of this whole process is not condemnation. What goes on in the next verses, which is an interesting conversation within this context, is John chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. This is the verdict. In other words, if you're taking all this and you come up with a conclusion, this is it. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. When I was in Bible college, we had curfews at 10 o'clock. It was really strict. And sometimes, not me, but other people used to sneak out and go on donut runs because at 11 o'clock, Dunkin' Donuts had a $1 dozen donut thing. So some people would take like $5 or $6 and go make a donut run and sneak in through the windows and stuff like that. I wouldn't do that. But anyway, some people would do that. And so sometimes the dean of men or somebody would be out there as you're sneaking back in the darkness and they would take a flashlight and boom, shoot it on you. And they would say, men love darkness more than light because their deeds are evil. And I'm like, men love donuts better than light. No, I'm just saying. So I thought that was so like stupid and corny that he would use the scripture. And then I became a youth pastor, and at the middle of the night I'd go out and find kids in the woods and I'd shine their light and go, men love darkness better than light because their deeds are evil. So that's a good scripture to use on your children. No, it's not. Men love darkness instead of light because their deeds are evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. And this scripture is very interesting, that this is the verdict, that God so loved the world and he didn't come to condemn the world. And light has come, and either you like it, receive it, or you hate it. And life comes, and when life comes, we embrace the light. And the great artist comes to create light and life. And the first order of anything when you see something that you want to repair is to see the defects in it. And you need light to see that. And here's what I've come to find out. It isn't judgment or shame, that God always brings healing or redemption every time. No matter what your situation, no matter what's happened in your life, redemption and healing. Sometimes together, he redeems the story for his glory. He doesn't bring condemnation. He doesn't bring shame. And what I didn't know when I came to faith is how much I would learn to love walking in the light. When I was young, I was afraid of being exposed. And I've gotten older, I've come to embrace walking in the light. An honest look at my pain and how it impacts my present. An honest look at my sin and how it impacts the relationships that I have. And not everyone knows every defect that I have, but every defect is known by somebody. I share it with Jesus. I share it with someone I trust. I share it for healing. I share it for accountability. And my wife or godly counselors and even a psychiatrist, yes, know my story. And there's one truth that I found. When I'm honest, I can never be condemned. When I'm honest, I can't be judged. When I bring it to the light, I never live in condemnation. The second story is in John chapter 9. It's just right after this, where Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Verse 1. As he went along, he saw a blind man from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Can you imagine having such a deformity that, and then everybody blames that your parents sinned or that you sinned? And so the whole community thinks you're in this situation because of what you've done wrong or what your parents have done wrong, and the shame that that brings. And Jesus said, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that he can be redeemed." That's why. "So that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. And while I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And the rest of the story says he spits in the dirt, makes mud, puts it on his eyes. And the man goes and washes in the pool of Siloam, and he's healed. And Jesus is the light that saves. He's the light that rescues. He's the light that delivers. He's the light of the world that never comes to bring condemnation or shame. I have, since I was a child, dream with intensity. And sometimes the dreams can be tough or hard. And if you've been a part where your child does that, or maybe you've been a child that does it, what's the first thing a parent does? A parent embraces you and they turn on the light. And they say, "Open your eyes. Look around. There are no monsters here." And I think Jesus found this woman and he began to write down and write in the dirt. And when he stands up, he says, "Woman, open your eyes. Where are the monsters that used to accuse you? And they're not here anymore." And I think he finds this young man and he says, "Everybody has treated you like an outcast all your life. From birth, they were convinced that your family was sinful. Open your eyes. What do you see? The monsters are no longer here." And here's a question. If you knew that there would be no shame or judgment, what would you do with the darkness that you've hidden for so long? And the Gospel of John tells us a story that Jesus goes all the way to the cross and he took upon him the sins of the world. Every distorted thought that you had, every act that was perpetrated upon you, every word that you wish you could retract, and every corner of your darkness was there. And he who knew no sin became sin for us. And he took on our shame, all the darkness of our bondage. And he was so covered with the sins of the world that when he died, in the middle of the day, the sun turned dark for several hours. And the light of the world's light was diminished by our sin. But on the resurrection day, brilliant light exploded from the tomb when he was raised from the dead. And he was infused with eternity. And now he gives us the light and says to us, "We are the light of the world." I felt compelled because of some of the things that are going on right now to share one more thing with you. And I think it's wrong for us to think that we'll never have a dark moment in our life when we've come into the light. That's not the point. First John, again, John really likes to rest in this part about life. He speaks about life in First John. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, it says, I'm going to read this verse and then we'll go back. "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us." I have a good friend, Pastor Dan Steffen, says, "It's okay not to be okay, but it's not okay to act like you're okay." Here is the light, the lie. The lie is this. It says, "If I walk in the light amongst everyone and they see all my flaws, I will diminish my witness and devalue my faith." And the church has for decades bought that lie. So in order to keep a good name, a good testimony, we bury and hide the sins that we commit. And we've seen it again come out. For decades, pastors and priests burying things. And in hiding that darkness, we have more wounded ourselves than if we would have walked in exposure and confession. And we made Christ out to be a liar when we do that. It says that if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word's not in us. Because we tell the world, Christ will forgive you, Christ will save you, just confess your sins and live. But us, we hide. 1 John chapter 1, 5 says this, going back, "This is the message we have heard from and declare to you. God is light. And in him there's no darkness at all. And if we claim to have fellowship with him, and yet," here's the phrase, continue walking in darkness. "We lie and do not live out the truth, but if we continue to walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from sin. But if we walk in the light, as he in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and we're purified from sin. You never truly connect with others while you're hiding in darkness. And we've seen people come and go at streams, and you can tell, and I know the stories, and that people are sit there, and there's something there. There's something there that they so desperately want to come into the light, but they live in fear. And they never connect with other people, and they never get engaged with one another. And when that happens, all you do is live in darkness. You know, and typically they might leave, and it just happens. And this is what I found. I have found living a life of transparency and vulnerability is the most freeing thing I've ever done in my life. Walking in the light. I have people all the time tell me, last week it happened, I was talking about when I was 15 and when my stepfather left and how I sort of flipped from being very passive to aggressive, and the wife was sitting there and she said afterwards, she goes, I talked to my husband, that's you, that's the same story you have. And it's so freeing for them to know that I had walked this pathway that was a lot like their pathway and that they can walk in healing, but walk in healing comes from walking in a light. So again, if you knew there would be no shame or judgment, what would you do with the darkness that you've hidden for so long? Because life and light always come hand in hand. It's been that way from the beginning, from the creation of the world, right? From the first moments of creation. And when Jesus came on the scene to today. And it's too hard to live any other way. It's really hard to keep up the mask. See, you were created for light. And that's what I hope you walk in. I want to pray for you. We're going to have the team come forward and we'll sing this song again. But would you stand with me? This message is by no means meant to bring any condemnation. It's meant to bring freedom. So my prayer is this, that, again, not everybody has to know everything, but somebody needs to know it. And so who do you trust? Who do you know it's a godly person? Who can you express that to? I just had the opportunity recently to talk to somebody. They've been gone for 4 or 5 years, and they came back and talked to me, and you could tell something was heavy, and they just needed to confess something to me, and they trusted me, and I appreciated that. And the moment they spoke it, obviously you could see just this weight that lifted off of them, and I gave them some pathways for health, and it was a powerful moment. So, Father, we trust the light. We trust walking in the light. So give us the courage, give us the power, give us the grace to love one another right where we're at. Give us the understanding that this is the only way to walk in freedom. And there's the beauty that you created light for us. And so we choose to believe that we were created for life and light. Help us, God, we pray, to do that in Jesus' name.
This has been a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more information, visit streamschurch.org.